Hi, I'm Doug Erdman. I appreciate the chance to speak to you today at White Pine. I'm here in my office at Resource Exchange International in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Joyce and I actually will be traveling to Maine the second week of September, and we're really looking forward to being at your service on the 13th on the new property. It's just going to be incredible. Well, Resource Exchange International, just a quick update. What we do is we send full-time staff and short-term professionals to developing countries around the world. These countries are not only developing, but they're closed, meaning that you can't get in there with a missionary visa. But we're able to get in because we do two things. One, we practically train people in skills that would develop their country. So medical skills, business skills, education, English. We genuinely try and make a contribution to these countries to improve them. But then also, because of that goodwill that we win, we are able to share our faith, disciple people, and bring them to a point where they can disciple others. We're in six countries in Africa and Asia. And actually, we just held a few weeks ago in July, we held our every 2 year staff conference. So I brought all these people back. Here's a picture of them. We had a great time. Don't get worried. This picture was the only time where we either weren't wearing masks or social distancing. The interesting thing that I find about the work we do is that in these closed countries, many of them are actually getting more closed. And I actually have friends that work with other agencies that have actually had to leave, have been asked to leave by the governments in those countries. But REI is getting asked to send more people and to develop new sites. And I think that's because of this holistic model that we have. The book of Esther talks about Mordecai talks to Esther and says, could she have been raised up for such a time as this? And I think REI actually has been raised up for such a time as this. Well, let me shift gears a little bit, tell you about my father. Dad was he was a lawyer in Vermont, but what he really wanted to be was a mission aviation pilot, the kind of guy that flies the planes into jungle strips and resources the missionaries, brings supplies, that type of thing. Dad actually was a pilot in the Air Force. And he went so far as to buy a plane that's used in jungle aviation, a STOL plane, short takeoff and landing, the kind that can actually land and take off from these short strips. And he applied to do this with a group called New Tribes Mission, an excellent group. And they liked him a lot, but the problem was that he didn't have his mechanics license. To be a jungle pilot, you have to not only be able to fly the plane, you have to be able to fix it because sometimes you're stuck in the field and there's no mechanic. And so Dad didn't have that and he couldn't really pursue that dream. But one thing that he did do is he took my mother and us kids to several New Tribes Mission conferences. They were down in Florida and I remember enjoying those. But one of these conferences, I met a man. His name was Lance Latham. And he just seemed like a special guy. He was very winsome, very kind. I remember playing checkers with him as a boy. We were kind of near Disneyland, so he went with us a couple times to Disney World when we were down there. And just kind of the guy that you would like to be around, very encouraging. One of the times we were there, one of the missionaries, New Tribe, said, "Oh, Lance, at tomorrow's meeting, he's going to be speaking." So I asked him, what will Lance be speaking about? And the fellow said, "Well, I don't know, but Lance always ends up speaking about grace." And sure enough, I went to the meeting and that's what he spoke about, grace. And I thought, isn't this interesting? This guy, he seems just his life is very gracious. When he speaks, he can't help but speak about grace. He just seemed to be full of grace. What's interesting is that concept actually is, there's other people in the Bible that were described as that. Stephen, for example, Acts 6:8 says, "Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power." And then actually Jesus himself, John 1:14, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So this idea shows up, you know, both in the Bible and then in current life, people that are full of grace. And so I'd like to be a person full of grace. And I wonder, how does a person become like that, full of grace? And that's what I'd like to talk about. And I think actually there's probably three things that are necessary to be full of grace. The first thing is that you actually have to understand God's grace. You have to understand it. So grace itself, what is that? People say that it's not getting something that we deserve. What did we deserve? Well, the Bible says actually we deserve death, spiritual separation from God, eternal separation. And why is that? Well, it's because of our sin. We have a sin problem. So Romans 3:23, for the wages of sin is death. Well, how do we deal with that sin problem? How do we deal with the death? And the way God has done it, as of course we know, is that he himself sent someone to take that penalty of death for us. You know, I like the illustration. Imagine being in a courtroom and you are surprised because you're actually the one on trial in this particular scenario. And the crime or crimes that you're accused of committing are sins. And so the evidence comes in and it's really quite clear that you're a sinner, and evidence closes and the judge says, no question, you're guilty of this, and the punishment for that is death. And so as the judge is about to sentence you and send you off to that punishment, there's a person who stands up in the courtroom, and it happens to be Jesus. And he asks, I understand that the penalty for the sin that this person's committed is death, but could I take that penalty for him? Could I be a substitute? And God says, well, justice has to be satisfied, but if you're willing to pay that penalty, yes, you can take the penalty. And that really is what has happened, that because Jesus was willing to die, the penalty is removed from us. And so this guilt of sin can be forgiven. And I think that's grace. So to be full of grace, we first have to understand what God through Jesus has done, offering us this gift of forgiveness of sins. The second thing that we have to incorporate into our life if we're going to be a person full of grace is pretty maybe obvious, but we have to accept it. We have to accept God's grace. And that can be challenging. So we might say, I know other Christians are forgiven, but I'm not sure I can be forgiven. And for me, this comes about when I see someone that is just a really nice person. And I think of actually a guy in my office here, a guy who works for us, his name is Brian. And Brian's just an encouraging guy, tells jokes, tries to be funny. He'll go out and buy coffee for us at Starbucks sometimes. And, you know, it's pretty easy to think that, okay, God's forgiven Brian. But what about me? Well, that's not how God thinks about it. And the verse that comes to mind is Isaiah 53:6. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So not just Brian's iniquity, not just Brian's sin, but mine too. And that goes for each one of us, that our sins, all of our sins, have been laid on Jesus. But what about sometimes we think God can forgive small sins, but maybe not the big ones? So perhaps a little lie, yeah, he can forgive that. Maybe I've even been kind of cranky today. Yeah, God can forgive that. But what if for years I've been a neglectful and maybe abusive parent? Or perhaps I'm a son or daughter and I've had been really challenging growing up, been disrespectful That type of thing. Can God forgive that? Well, Colossians 2:13 is the key verse here. He forgave us all our sins. All our sins. All means all. So not just the small ones, but the large ones too. But maybe finally we also think, okay, well, I sinned, you know, in the past. I became a Christian. But then there, you know, sins is in my life again. Maybe some future sins. How can God deal with those? And I think what if we're having that question, the issue is that we're not understanding what forgiveness is dependent on. It's not dependent on us being good or righteous. It's dependent on the efficacy or the effectiveness of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. So past and present and future sins are covered because of what Jesus did on the cross. So we not only have to understand God's grace, but we have to fully accept it for ourselves in order to be a person full of grace. Finally, I think what we have to do is completely apply God's grace. To be a person full of grace, we have to completely apply it to ourselves. So what do I mean by that? We need to constantly be receiving God's forgiveness. The classic verse on this is 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So to receive God's forgiveness constantly, we need to be confessing our sins. Now you might ask, this seems interesting because this verse says that we confess, he forgives. But Doug, I thought you said we're already forgiven. You know, when we first accept God's gift, we're forgiven. And I think that's a good question. But note that this verse is actually written to Christians. So it's not talking about that initial forgiveness that happens when we accept God's gift. I think it's more talking about a kind of a continuation of relationship. And I think what's maybe a great illustration of that to me is when I, living in Maine there, as some of you know, we have five kids. One of our fourth child, the daughter, Heather, wrote me a letter once, which I've saved. And let me just share this with you. It says, "Dear Dad, I'm sorry for what I did. Please forgive me. I was just really mad and wanted to let it out on someone. Again, I'm sorry. Yours truly, Heather. P.S. I'm really sorry." I love the way she signed her name so small, you can barely read it. Now, I got to tell you, I have no idea what she did here. I can't remember it at all. And I think then, even now, you know, did I love Heather regardless of what it was? You know, this elementary school, this must have been an elementary school when she wrote this. Of course I did. Did I forgive her? Of course. But she sensed that our relationship was broken and that she needed to come to me and ask for forgiveness to restore that relationship. And I think that is what this is talking about when we need to apply God's grace. We need to confess sins. And it says that he will forgive them. And if we do that, our relationship is immediately restored. And so that's the idea of this applying it is that we have to accept his forgiveness continually to know our relationship was restored. You know, a man named Bill Bright, he was the president of Campus Crusade, now called CRU, used to speak about spiritual breathing. And he described that it was based on this verse. That just like we breathe in and out all the time, we need to be telling the Lord when we screw up, small things, big things, just like a breath, just let it out. And then the breath in is actually receiving God's forgiveness. And what's interesting is I've tried this, it's amazing how that just immediately, you get a sense that your relationship with God is restored. I think as you receive grace, then it's easier, or receive forgiveness, it's easier to forgive people immediately. And I really think, you know, this is part of the truth, or part of the way that we become people full of grace. Well, back to Lance Latham. Preparing to talk with you, I actually went online and looked him up. And I didn't know this, but a biography was written about Lance. And you'll see it here. It says, Lance, a testament of God's grace, or a testament of grace. It's like, wow, look at that. You know, what I noticed in him years ago, other people noticed too. And the writer of this biography entitled this, basically saying that, well, a testament, that's evidence of something, a sign of something. So Lance was somehow a sign or evidence of God's grace. And I think that because he had accepted God's grace himself, meaning that he understood that his sins were forgiven, that he had become evidence of that, and that he had actually become a person full of grace. So I would say that my prayer for me, my prayer for you, is that we would each be people who understands, accept, and constantly apply God's forgiveness of our sins, so we too can be people that are full of grace.